Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus, our weekly Bible study right here on our website. Once again, we welcome you. We thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this broadcast here on our website, this Bible study here on our website, will be a blessing to you as we go into the Word of God and pray that we will hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. If you're a Christian today, you're not just part of an organization. You're not just part of a denomination. If you're going to a named denominational church, Christian church, you are part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ecclesia is the Greek word for church, and it means the called out ones. And that means we've been called out of darkness into light. We've been called out of the dominion of Satan and sin into the wonderful kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ. And today, dear friend, as a called out one, you have been called to salvation. When you answered that call, hallelujah, you became chosen. God has chosen you today. Amen. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen nation, chosen holy nation, a chosen generation. Praise God. Amen. And the Bible said when Jesus returns, they that were with him, they that stood with him here and went with him to heaven and came back with him here to rule and reign, they were called. They answered the call. They were chosen, and they were faithful. Praise God. Well, we want to talk to you today about the heart of worship. The heart of worship. You will probably think of a song if you've heard a contemporary Christian song about the heart of worship. We'll talk about that a little further into the message today. But I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 116 and verse 12. And for this foundation truth about all worship, old and new covenant, but especially in the new covenant, because we have a better covenant established on better things, amen, than the blood of bulls and goats, for the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, speaks of better things. Hallelujah. So we want to be able to worship God acceptably. We do not want to just go through enthusiastic religious motions. We want to give God something of substance that will literally bless him. When the calves, you see, the offering the calves of our lips, as the New Testament puts it, speaking in sacrificial terms, when praise becomes a sacrifice unto God, not just something that stimulates, you know, some kind of satisfaction or stimulation of our emotions, but something that literally becomes a sweet smelling savor or fragrance to God. I want to bless the Lord when I worship. Now, I want to get blessed. Don't get me wrong. There's a blessing in worshiping him and blessing him. But you don't come to church initially because you like the music. I don't want no old dead church and old dead music with no enthusiasm. But I don't come just to be entertained by the choir or the praise team or the soloist. I don't come just for the horizontal praise that I may participate in and greatly enjoy, and I do and I will. And there are songs to celebrate our faith. Amen. And we should show that there should be songs of joy, and we should sing them enthusiastically. But there are songs that are not horizontal sung to us where we sing back or sing with, but there are songs that are sung to God. And we can equally participate, but when those songs are sung, it is something that is showing the gratitude in our heart. It is showing what true worship is all about. It's what Jesus talked about at Jacob's well when this woman asked him, where can we worship God acceptably? Is it in that holy mountain or is it in that holy city? He said, the time has come and now is when true worshipers will neither worship God acceptably in a holy mountain or in a holy city, a holy place. But true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, for God seeketh such to worship Him. This is what blesses God today, is when we worship Him from the heart and we show Him gratitude for all that He has done for us in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of His Son. Actually, worship itself, the word worship, comes from the Old English word, worship. And what I would submit to you today in our teaching, our salvation, what's it worth? How do we express our gratitude to show just how much we value going to heaven instead of going to hell, being delivered from the prison house of Satan, having our blind eyes opening, seeing the glory of the gospel, coming to Christ, repenting of our sins, being pardoned by God. Hallelujah. Being saved, being sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked as God's own, and being safe from the wrath to come. What is that worth? What value is there on it? Amen. Yes, we should celebrate our salvation, but our Savior, what's He worth today? What God gave when He gave us His Son, and how we should respond to Him, and how we should express our gratitude to Him in true worship, true worship. That's the truth that He's looking for in our heart, is true gratitude. You see, vertical worship is exclusively Godward. Horizontal praise is when the worship team, the choir, the soloist sings to the audience, and we're engaged by their talent or enthusiasm, and we sing along with them to celebrate our salvation and even celebrate our Savior. But vertical worship, we sing to Him. We don't just sing about Him. We sing directly to Him. And we find our heart wanting to express to Him gratitude for what the Bible calls the unspeakable gift and the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. I like the Andre Crouch song, My Tribute. And he says, how can I say thanks for all the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. Now listen, the chorus I love, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done. Praise the Lord. Someone has said it well. True worship is conspicuous for the absence of self. Now, I get blessed, don't get me wrong, when I worship the Lord and He graces us by manifesting His presence. You see, the Bible said He, in the Old Covenant, He inhabits the praises of His people. Literally, He is enthroned by the praises of His people. He's put in that highest place where He receives the highest praise. Hallelujah. We make a throne, in other words, for God. Amen. Exclusive to God and for God and for Christ, in whom all the fullness of God dwelt bodily. I and my Father are one. You can't praise one without praising the other. You can't glorify one without glorifying the other. Amen. Jesus was exalted by the Father that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Dear friend of mine, today I want to worship Him in that exclusive way and express unto Him my gratitude and my thanks. Amen. I want to make it perfectly clear. All true worship is the result of gratitude in our heart for our salvation and our Savior. Hallelujah. To our Heavenly Father who gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. So the question is asked by the psalmist, and it should be challenging us today as New Testament, New Covenant believers. In Psalm 116:12, what shall I render unto the Lord, unto the Lord for all His benefits unto me? Yes, I will celebrate my salvation in praise songs, but this worship that is vertical is directly to God from the heart of all of His children. Praise God. This is not for our entertainment. This is for His honor, and this is for His glory. Hallelujah. Amen. King David answers this question posed in Psalm 116 in verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits unto me? Let's look at Psalm 103. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. It's vertical, you see. Now, He did ask for everyone to join Him in this vertical worship, just like they joined Him in celebratory songs, I am sure. But listen, this worship was different because it was to God. So that's why He says in another psalm, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. And here's the stimulant for that desire to bless Him. Amen. And forget not all of His benefits. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? It's being answered right here. Bless the Lord with everything I am, all my soul, O my soul, and all that is within me. And the stimulation, the benefits now are beginning to be brought forward. This stimulation to honor and bless the Lord with gratitude for all He's done for us. Amen. Verse 3 said, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all of thine diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Dear friend, today we as Christians should be filled with praise and thanksgiving for the forgiveness of sin, thereby escaping hell and gaining heaven. Oh, friend, if you don't understand where you would be without the Lord, you can never appropriately and fully appreciate what salvation means to you and what a Savior means to you, that God sent His Son to take our place as our substitute on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be pardoned, so our sins could be remitted, so we could be saved. Hallelujah. And it is the blessing above all blessings. We find it right here in Psalm 103. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy to them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. That means when we are truly forgiven, and particularly the way we are forgiven in the New Testament, when our sins are not just covered because of that animal that is sacrificed, but that type of Christ is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ when He became our Lamb of God. And He became the substitute and the sacrifice, the innocent suffering for the guilty, so the guilty could be declared innocent. Not because we are made innocent, but we are declared innocent. Listen, my garments are sin-stained. Jesus took my sin-stained garment and He wore it to the cross. He who knew no sin in that sense became sin. Hallelujah, that I might be made, and that you and that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the Bible speaks of that righteousness that is transferred to us as a gift, the gift of righteousness. Praise God. Abraham believed God, and God gifted him with righteousness. God put it to his account. Now, there's a practical righteousness where we walk out our commitment to follow Christ, and we should all be seeking to be pure and to be holy. But this gift of righteousness is an immediate standing with God as if we had never sinned, because Jesus took our sin, tarnished, sin-stained garment, and He wore it to the cross, took our punishment for those sins on the cross, and granted to us His robe, His sinless robe, His righteous robe. Hallelujah. And we wear that robe of righteousness positionally. Amen. You can't get any more saved by any work that we could ever do than we are saved when we receive Jesus as our Savior. That's why He told the thief on the cross that said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And He said, "Today." What? You can't come down and do penance? You can't come down and live a pure life for the rest of your life? No, you cannot. Listen. But He immediately received God's pardon, God's forgiveness, and therefore Christ right standing with Him. And that's why the Scripture said that we are accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. We have been baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scriptures declare we become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We are buried with Him. We are raised with Him. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. When He comes to take us to heaven, we're going to heaven with Him. We're coming back with Him to rule and reign. Once you become a Christian, this spiritual transaction, this regeneration and this relocation, praise God, amen, takes place. We become one with Christ, and then Christ becomes one with us. Christ in you, in me, the hope of glory. Friend of mine, I believe if the holiest persons that make the holy city, the holy city is not holy, because of the transparent gold streets or the pearl gates carved out of one pearl or the foundations of precious stones. No. What makes heaven holy is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The triune God in His fullness makes that place holy. That's why when God manifested Himself on a burning bush to Moses, the Shekinah glory of God just all over it, but not consuming it, the first thing that was spoken was, "Take off your shoes, show honor, show devotion, show deep reverence with awe Amen. Why? Because the very ground around that bush was made holy by the presence of God on that bush. That's why when God spoke to Moses on the mountain, Mount Sinai, the mountain shook and there was lightning and there was thunder and there was a warning that not only a person should approach that mountain, but even if a rabbit or an animal of any kind approached the base of the mountain, they'd kill it quickly because they are entering into sacred, holy ground, sanctified by the presence of God manifesting on that mountain. Dear friend of mine, this is holy things that we're talking about today. That's why, as much as I am blessed by celebratory songs and I sing them, and I believe there is a definite, distinct place for them. David dancing before the Lord, celebrating the ark's return and God's mercy that allowed it to happen, was an acceptable sacrifice unto God. And the celebrations of the Feast of Tabernacles and all of those Jewish feasts, he said you've never heard songs of joy until you heard their celebration songs. But those singers that were appointed to sing to the Lord, that was a different situation. That incense offered to God and was exclusive for God alone. It wasn't for anyone else's pleasure or anyone to bless anyone else. Amen. The very formula for that God would accept, God gave it, and once He gave that formula that would bless Him, He said it's not to be used for any other purpose than to bless the Lord. Praise God. That's why I love that song. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. This psalm put to song, bless His holy name. And bless Him for all of these benefits that we have. He forgives our sin. And He forgets our sin. He treats us as if we had never sinned when we truly repent. This kind of love, this kind of mercy, this Savior who took my sins, your sins, upon Himself, suffered unimaginable pain for 6 hours on the cross and the most horrendous beating you could ever imagine before they even impaled Him and nailed Him to the cross. He did that to pay in full my sin debt and your sin debt. So what is our salvation worth in light of that? Worship is to show just how much we value our salvation and the Savior who suffered and died to bring it to us. And I want to include the Heavenly Father, because the Bible said if He loved us, speaking of God the Father, if He loved us enough, in Romans 8 and verse 31-32, if He loved us enough to offer up, that means to give His Son to be the Lamb of God, to be a human, in human flesh, a sacrifice. Like an animal was sacrificed in the Old Covenant, Christ Himself becoming the sacrifice Lamb on the cross, taking our sins, taking our punishment, until the wrath of God was satisfied against sin, justifying us so that God could be just in forgiving us and we could be justified because we are truly forgiven. Praise God. That's why, as another song was written, you may recognize, called the Heart of Worship. The Heart of Worship. Now I'm going to read some of the verses of that song to you today. It is my understanding that this was written because worship can become those three songs sung by the choir, or those wonderful upbeat songs, hand-clapping, toe-tapping songs sung by the worship team, or a song sung celebrating our salvation that moves us emotionally. That all has a place, and I love it. I'm glad there's Christian entertainment. But when I go to church, I don't want to just be entertained by a concert. I want to be able to express to God in that place and that opportunity of praise and worship. I want to be able to express to Him all that is in my heart through my words and my song. I want this incense to not be mixed with any ulterior motive except to bless Him, to somehow let Him know what You gave us when You gave us Jesus, Father, and what You gave us, Jesus, when You stayed on that cross in our behalf. That has such value to me. I worship You. I offer You true worth-ship. Praise God. Amen. I love that song, The Heart of Worship. It says, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that is of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper within. Through the way that things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. And then he sings, King of endless worth, no one could express how much You deserve. And though I'm weak and poor, all I have is Yours, every single breath. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Listen, I believe the heart of worship involves more than just a tip of the hat on Sunday morning, more than just an hour of our time. He deserves nothing less than our total devotion. We should not just give thanks, we should live thanks. A life lived to express gratitude for the unspeakable gift and the unsearchable riches that are ours in Jesus Christ. What is it worth, is the question posed today. And what is He worth? And if we really grasp the value of what we possess as Christians, what shall we render? What should we render to God? Just the song from our heart? That's getting close. He will receive it, no doubt. He inhabits the praises of His people. But listen to Romans 12. I don't believe we should offer Him anything less in light of what He's done in our behalf. Listen to it carefully. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It should be the template for all true worship. And it doesn't even begin with singing to the Lord or even saying to the Lord. It begins with giving our heart to Him and living our life for Him. Oh, praise God. I want to bless Him today. How about you? It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is being stimulated by contemplating and comprehending this kind of love, this kind of grace, this kind of mercy, this kind of Father that would give us His Son, this Son that would give us His life, suffering and dying on the cross. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies or in light of the mercies of God, that you present or yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And while there's logic in that, this is just reasonable. This is not going above and beyond. This is what we should do. This is what we could do if we would do, if we really want to show how valuable God is and Christ is to us. But there's a translation of this where it connotates, this is your true spiritual worship. Don't ever misunderstand that singing three praise songs on Sunday morning is going to take the place of how we live our life. On a Sunday morning is going to take the place of how we live our life Monday through Saturday. Amen. God wants your heart. Amen. More than just for 1 hour and 15 minutes of that hour in the praise service on Sunday morning. This is wholehearted commitment to follow Jesus. Listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, connotating your true spiritual worship. Hence, it helps us understand what a true worshiper is. It's more than someone that mouths the words, sings the song. This is someone who truly expresses gratitude by yielding their life to the Lord. Fulfilling the scripture, you're bought with a price, and you are no longer your own. And it's when you give yourself away in total devotion to Jesus that you fulfill that expression of gratitude to God. Hallelujah. Listen to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. That means pressed into a mold. To take clay and press it into a mold, some pliable substance, and be pressed into a mold. Be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world press you into its mold. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, literally exemplify, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One translation says that you may demonstrate, that you might demonstrate through the life of devotion that we live as we take up our cross and we follow Jesus Christ and we deny ourselves. Amen. Denying yourself is not some big sacrificial act that you do. It's giving yourself over to God and not living a life just for your selfish goals and your self-satisfaction. You find more joy in Him than you could ever find in any self-serving sin that you could ever embrace and commit. I'm telling you, there's a joy in following Jesus. Amen. Listen, even the cross, in obedience to the Father, it is said of Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross while despising the shame. Way more than the pain of His, that body that He literally allowed to be impaled on that cross, even more than the 6 hours of pain beyond our imagination, was the shame of being treated as a sinner who knew no sin, and the shame of hanging naked, of this holiest of all of created beings in the body part of Him, hung on that cross. And He hung in total shame, and His aversion to sin and to that shame, It took Him back, but for the joy that was set before Him, hallelujah, He endured the shame and took our place. Today He deserves not just part of our life, not just an hour, 2 hours on Sunday, not just a sing-along on Sunday. He deserves our total devotion. Not just religious emotion. I want to come back to the heart of worship. I it's easy to just, you know, not really appreciate what He's done for us like we should. And if we're not cautioned and we don't revisit the cross and we don't have that first love rekindled again and again and again, as preachers and teachers get away from even the preaching of the cross, you know, it is such a given now. And then we go into all these other areas. But my love is stimulated by the one who took my place on that old rugged cross. And I want to sing to Him and say to Him how much I love You, Jesus. Father, how much I thank You for offering Him up for us. Thank You from the bottom of my heart. Thank You with all that I have. Thank You with all that I am. Let me live my life. Let me live out my days devoted to You. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to sing other songs that are dancing songs and clapping songs and toe-tapping songs. And I'm going to enjoy celebrating my salvation. But when I come to celebrate You, I come to worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, friend of mine, I'm coming back to the heart of worship again and again and again, because it's all about You, Heavenly Father, and it's all about You, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you don't know the Lord today, if He's not your personal Lord and your Savior, and you've been to church and you went through, you know, a cut and dried, routinely ritualistically practiced religious service, and you never felt the Lord tugging at your heart, you may not have even heard the cross presented in all of its glory and power because of the purpose of it and the person who took our place on it, then you were not moved by it. You were probably not convicted if you didn't hear at some point in the service about this old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and pain. Oh, dear friend of mine, but there's no greater message than for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His Son for you. Christ suffered, gave His life for you. And He bids you come. Come to Him. Come to Him and repent of your sin so that your sin can be forgiven. So God can accept you and justify you, pardon you, save you from eternal banishment and torment. Seal you with the Holy Spirit, literally brand you, mark you as belonging to Him, and keeping you safe from the wrath to come. You don't have to fear the judgment to come. Oh, dear friend, come to Christ. Come to Jesus. And then offer your body a living sacrifice. Begin to follow Him. And then offer the calves of your lips. Bring Him the sacrifice of praise. And let's stay in that heart of worship and be found worshiping and following Him when He comes. For He's coming soon, in Jesus' name.